Important dates in Christian history. 1830. Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the anxious bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Guess what decade we're going to visit? This is Wretched Radio. We're actually going to go visit the DeLorean. Well, sort of. Let's go back to the 80s. But before we take that trip, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt myself. I received two emails today regarding a subject that I think hits home for far more Christians than most of us are aware of. And I do believe we have a resource that will help those Christians who are struggling with assurance, the specific variety of assurance struggle that many people possess is just this nattering, intrusive thought. Hey, you don't believe enough. Hey, you didn't repent enough. And there are I meet people so regularly. I hear from people so often. To give you an idea of what this is like for people, let me just share with you a couple of, let me just share one. I'm going to leave names out. This is from an individual who's 17 years old. I'm emailing you because I've been watching your YouTube channel for a while, especially your videos on assurance of salvation. And I found them very helpful. By the way, Jimmy, this young man watching the YouTube videos. Yeah, I had a dagger put in my heart the other day. So Al Mohler is going to be joining us. I'm probably going to share that next week. Going to spend an hour with him discussing Israel. What constitutes modern day Israel? Who has the deed to the land? Is Genesis still applicable to Jewish people today? Is the land deeded to Israel? And so working with his assistant, Caleb.
Okay.
He said, hey, I just wanted to let you know, we're working on the details and the arrangements and the timing. Just want to let you know that growing up, watched Wretched TV all the time. So I trust he's like 17 too. It's what I'm hoping for right there. Back to the email from a 17-year-old who writes, when I was 13 to 14 years old, I constantly struggled with whether I was really saved. I would question whether my repentance was sincere enough, whether my prayers were sincere enough, and whether my emotions were genuine. When I was 15, I came to realize something important. My repentance and prayers would never be enough. Excellent. Jesus alone is enough. Excellent. Salvation is not based on my crying out to him or my turning from sin. It's based on Christ and his finished work. That is a most excellent revelation, young man. Since then, I understand the gospel more clearly. However, despite understanding the gospel intellectually, I still struggle deeply with assurance. My mind constantly turns inward, asking whether my faith is real. I find myself thinking, what if I'm not truly looking to Christ? When that happens, I experience intense anxiety and scrupulosity, and my nervous system becomes very activated. And these emails are they echo the same sentiment. I'm not sure, because I keep rethinking it, would like to point you to a resource. It's not going to perhaps settle everything for you, but if you listen carefully in your context of what you're dealing with scrupulosity, intrusive thoughts, and constantly questioning the same event, the same belief, the same repentance, the same assurance. Greg Giffert on his Transform podcast, the last two, Jimmy, it was actually the last two. Now, it's going to sound like an odd title. It's Embarrassment is the title. One, it parts one and two. But earlier in Transformed, you can also go look for the lessons on the conscience. because you can have a conscience that is a little hyper. We'll call it a hyper conscience, and it's scrupulosity, if you will. If you listen to those presentations, it will at least contribute to some of your strengthening of that muscle of assurance. So go to the Transform podcast, which is growing leaps and bounds, and there's good reason for it. All of our podcasts are, I'm telling you, if you haven't checked out our podcast, go to Spotify, go to Apple, go to the Fortis app, fortisplus.org, totally free. You can see all of our Libby is crushing it. John Kratz, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, all of these podcasts are so helpful. But particularly, I would point you to Greg's podcast on embarrassment and the conscience to help you deal with this issue. Now, I think that there's a couple of components, and it really depends on the individual and the circumstances. I think biblical counseling, there are books on the subject. I've got one on my nightstand about OCD. It's very short. It's Ed Welch, I believe, wrote it. There are other books that treat the subject. I know that Libby is going to be working on treating the subject because she's going to be, I hope, writing a book that will include OCD, scrupulosity, intrusive thoughts that just drive people bonkers. Hopefully, Greg's podcast will help you in your walk toward assurance because you need to understand it generally, but then you probably need somebody to help you specifically to deal with it. Because I think that there's probably bits of information that are missing and some personalized practices that can be put into place that would help you very specifically. Because I think that this is so commonplace. And this is a mystery of the mingling of brain and heart, the difference between the inner man and the outer man, that one can affect the other. That's most certain. The intrusive thought issue is so commonplace. It happens so often. And these are good believers. They're you can see them growing and they're participating in the life of the local church. And they're just haunted by it. You need some disciplines to stop it in its tracks. And I think that has to be done on a customized kind of basis. Let's go back now to the 80s, shall we? Huey Lewis lost his voice. Did you know that?
I did not.
That was a real sad sort of deal. I saw some sort of thing on the TV once where Huey Lewis, because I don't know that he's got perfect pitch, but he can clearly sing on pitch. And they were doing concerts and it was like, yo, Huey, what key are you in? Wait, you're in another key. Now you're totally flat. He was losing his hearing and didn't even know it. And with that, I hope the fellow can hear now. I don't think he can sing anymore. That's rough. The Power of Love happens to be the theme song or one of the theme songs to Back to the Future, which is where we're finally going to go. We're going to go back to the 80s. This is from Newsbreak.com. The author is Alexandra Blogier. You may disagree with some of these, but these are 11 ways parents in the 1980s had it way easier than parents do now. I'm not a fan of that title in that parenting is never easy. It's not like, oh, you lived in that decade. Changing diapers, you only had to do that like every month. No, parenting is always hard. Every decade is hard. Every decade has unique challenges. So why am I sharing this? I think that it gives us some insight so that we can better minister to parents today. This is the dynamic that I think should be alive and well in every single church, that there is intergenerational discipleship going on. This is something that we're working on cultivating at Alpharetta Bible Church. I'm telling you, if you're a software designer, we need this church software that sets it up so that people can list, hey, here's the stuff where that we can do, that we know about, that we think we could download to others and bless them. And it's listed there. So if you've then got an issue, you just go to the church website and you look for the person who can help you with parenting, communication, anger issues, because it's listed there. And older people who have wisdom that came through experience can help you fast forward your sanctification process. I just, that's the way that it should be working. So when grandparents in the church can be discipling parents, who then can be discipling newlyweds. Everybody can disciple somebody younger than themselves. Everybody can do that. You can find somebody younger. You've got more wisdom. You can help them advance and maybe save them some of the pain that you had to experience to get your wisdom. So that's the purpose of this, that we understand what they're up against, because parenting is always hard. Every generation, it's hard. But there are some unique pressures that I think every generation feels. For instance, if you were living in World Wars I or II, that would have brought a different dynamic to your parenting, wouldn't it? Especially if you had teenage boys. And so I think that we can, without getting carried away and without comparing decades and generations, even though it's just, I think this is just factual and historically known, the 80s were the best decade. The point is, let's see if we can understand today's generation of parents based on 80s parenting. Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving, or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together, or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. What it looks like for marriages and families to actually flourish instead of just holding it all together. Brad is a pastor, he's a certified biblical counselor, and as I said, a Fortis Institute fellow, and he brings decades of experience to helping real couples work through the real stuff. And this is the kind of Christ-centered content that we're producing every single day here at Fortis Institute, and it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. And if our ministry has helped you in any type of way, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality, because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Frill's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Frill. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose.
Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God. who is working in us to bring about his good pleasure.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
That's the live version. Thanks, Todd. This is Wretched Radio. What happened to the saxophone? When did the saxophone get fired? I'm looking at the Huey Lewis concert from 1989, and I'm noticing the saxophone gets played a lot. You go back to 80s music, there's a ton of sax, and it wasn't just David Sanborn, which brings back a memory. Todd, do you have to share it? Yes, apparently I do. Jimmy, I opened for David Sanborn. I believe it was at the Orpheum Theater on Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis, Minnesota, back when it was safe to actually go to downtown Minneapolis and attend the theater. David Sanborn was the sax player guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't confuse him with who was the clarinet guy that with the long black hair, you know, the curly hair, the you know, the clarinet guy.
Okay.
Kenny G.
Okay.
Who can forget the Kenny G? So I meet David Sanborn. It was just like, he didn't care. I was just that town's opening act. I shook his hand, you know, like church folk do. He's a slight fellow. I heard his hand crack. That was very bad. He actually kind of like pulled it back. Like, dude, I kind of need this for a living. Let's go back to the 80s without the saxophone or thankfully the clarinet. And I like the clarinet a little. It can just get a little. It's not like bagpipes. That's like a whole nother level. I'm just saying, little sprinkle here, little sprinkle there. Let's see if we can help parents of today by going back to understand parenting in the 80s. You may or may not agree with this list that was compiled by one Alexandra Blogier. 11 ways parents in the 80s had it way easier than parents do now. One, kids had simpler schedules. That's probably true. There are so many events, so many things going on these days. Kids in the 80s also had more time for unstructured play. Well, I think kids have plenty of time for unstructured play. The problem is the social media just sucks them right into a black hole and they can't find their way out of it. They sit with the digital games. They could be doing unstructured play. Playing tag, swimming, and jumping can help kids learn to take risks and manage their emotions. That's true. They learn social relational skills by interacting with other kids and having to negotiate disagreements. That's also true. And much of that gets missed because they don't have that sort of play time. I think they've got the free time. Mom and dad, I know it's a challenge. I know it is, but I think that you're going to have to do what your parents did to you. You are going to have to regularly utter the words that you no doubt heard if you grew up in the 80s. Go outside and play! Just go outside and play. You don't see it anymore. We drive through neighborhoods and it's crickets. Where are the kids these days? Without those opportunities, parents have to absorb most of those responsibilities, teaching all of those lessons that life and interaction with other kids can teach them. Their kids often end up feeling sad, depressed, because they're lacking the connections they need. I think that the moral to the story, if you're a modern day parent, is you need to get them out there. You need to get them interacting. Especially, this would also be a good word to homeschool families. You got to get the kids interacting with other kids or they will become geeky and probably depressed. Number two way. The second way, that's the word I'm looking for. The second way parenting in the 80s was different. They didn't have to deal with online mom shaming. Well, there's a way to deal with it. Don't go looking for it. Don't go. Apparently, there's a culture out there where people, they comment on other people's parenting and they make you feel terrible if you're not doing this or if you're doing that. And so you're becoming toxic and blah, blah, blah. And that can be a pressure. We didn't experience that back in the 80s, did we? Not that we had kids in the 80s. The point is, number three, parents didn't have to micromanage their kids. Well, they don't have to micromanage their kids today either, but that is the pressure, isn't it? I think once again, social media, specifically cell phones, have contributed to that. They've got to have a phone. I've got to know where they are. What if something happens to them? We've got to be able to communicate. No. I'm all for phone safety. That's cool. But I remember you didn't have to know where your kids were every second of the day. You might argue and say, but it wasn't as dangerous then. Okay, maybe, perhaps that's true. Depends on the age of the child, of course. I get that. But there was a day when kids would be gone and they could be up to mischief. That is most certainly true. But they weren't micromanaged just like they are today. There's a balance. And I think it's safe to say these days that the balance has swung too far into hyper protection. Believe me, I get it. It is dangerous out there. I do get it. But you could at least take a look at it and ask, can we dial it back a little bit? Number four, kids didn't have to get straight A's to be successful like they do today. Jimmy, did that you feel that pressure? You had to get A's?
No. Not at all.
So many things that could be said right now. I recall there was some pressure, but I don't think it was as intense as it is today, because these days I've heard somebody had like a 4.8 GPA. It's like 4.8? How do you even get a 4.8? It's because apparently if you get like 100% on stuff, it counts like an A++ or something like that. And there could be more intense pressure. Maybe it's for getting into school, but they do feel that pressure to make sure that their kids are keeping up. College has become unaffordable for most families. According to one study, considering student loan interest and lost potential income, investing in a bachelor's degree can ultimately cost in excess of $500,000. What are they feeding these kids at these schools? Do they get a manicure and a pedicure every day? $500,000. That's pressure. That's pressure. And by the way, there is an economic pressure that I think younger parents are feeling today that we probably didn't feel as much. It was there, but not as much. Number five, parents in the 80s had a lot more community support. Families weren't as scattered. Lived a little closer together. There was community support. You could have the kids be parented by the grandparents when you had to do something. Not so much these days. Our culture has changed. It's made it harder, I think, for parents today. Some of our just built-in social safety nets, I'm not talking about welfare programs, we've torn them asunder. And I think young parents do pay for it. Parental anxiety was much lower in the 80s. Screen time only meant time watching TV. Number eight, it cost less to raise kids. I don't know if you adjust for income, but I don't doubt it. The cost of things these days. Oofta. Jimmy, has the golden age hit your gas station yet? Because parents had actual free time. And one of the reasons that is cited in this article is because today they're very busy helicoptering their kids. There's a fine line here. It's the same thing with the safety issue. You never want to put your kid in danger. That's obvious, but I wonder if sometimes we overprotect, if we're micromanaging everything the kid does and not letting them ever skin their knee. That's not a good thing. Number 10, parents rarely felt guilty back then. Okay, I'm not sure how that study was performed to come to that conclusion. From the article, so many parents today feel inadequate. They wonder if they're making the right choices for their kids. Can't help but wonder if it is because they don't have grandparent involvement in the raising of their kids to say, hey, how did you do it? Hey, how do you think I'm doing with it? And finally, number 11, parents saw a bright future for their kids. They don't today. And I understand that, why they're very concerned about what's going to happen to children, which I think is keeping a lot of young couples from actually having children. And I think that there's a balance of wisdom and optimism that I we can't lose sight of. We don't want to let what we think could happen in the future dictate how many children we have today. I don't think, however, we want to be unwise. But I don't think that we want to be a part of the fearmonger club that just everything is going to be terrible in the future. Kids are a massive blessing and we should be optimistic. And hey, maybe just maybe our kid will be the one who does usher in the golden age of economics. Maybe our kid will help with fill in the blank problem. Our kid will do good things for the world because we're going to raise them up to be like Jesus, to help do good things for people. We're optimistic about the future. So if you're a young couple and you're considering not having children because of the future, be careful. Again, there's some wisdom. I understand you've got considerations. I'm not saying don't work through those, but I am saying be optimistic because the reality is parenting has always been hard, but simultaneously, I double dog dare anybody to identify any sort of activity, object, or relationship that is deeper, richer, and grander than the one you will have with your little God glorifiers. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.